Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, our new editor for Word on the Hills, Chris Cameron, and my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer.
If you'll indulge me for a minute or two, I'd like to sing a little song now. It was written by American folk singer and music historian John Jacob Niles, and it was based on a short passage he heard sung by a little girl when he was traveling through Appalachian, North Carolina in the 1930s. The thing I love about this song is that it asks nothing more of the singer than a willingness to deliver the words, and the tune, as plainly and clearly as possible.
I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, when Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky, or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the King. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky.
Thank you, Chris. And now, Marie Lynn Hammond sings her song, Christmas in Barbados.
Well, it's a warm December evening, the moonlit ocean's calm, and I can see Matthew's laundry hanging underneath the coconut palm. The whistling frogs are whistling, the skies are glitter with stars, and the karaoke singers are picking out carols in the South Coast bars. 'Cause it's Christmas in Barbados, and for me that's something new. But I don't miss Christmas back home half as much as I'm missing you. Yes, it's Christmas in Barbados, and I'm feeling just a little bit blue. But I don't miss Christmas back home half as much as I'm missing you. No, I don't miss the evergreens, I sure don't miss the snow and the chill, and I don't miss the crowds and the shopping and my whopping Visa bill. And I don't miss those church bells, I turned pagan so long ago, that the only thing I'll miss is the kissing underneath the mistletoe. 'Cause it's Christmas in Barbados, and for me that's something new. But I don't miss Christmas back home half as much as I'm missing you. Yes, it's Christmas in Barbados, and I don't know what I'm gonna do. But I don't miss Christmas back home half as much as I'm missing you. In a Bridgetown bar I heard a reggae band singing jingle bells,
jingle bells,
jingle bells,
jingle bells.
And I almost bought a wreath for my door made of wicker and seashells. And at the Hastings Mall they got tinsel garlands, and under a tropical sky I cut out a Santa and his reindeer flying by. 'cause it's Christmas in Barbados, and for me that's something new. But I don't miss Christmas back home half as much as I'm missing you. Yes, it's Christmas in Barbados, and I'm feeling just a little bit blue, 'cause I don't miss Christmas back home half as much as I'm missing you. Oh, it's a warm December evening, the moonlit ocean's calm, and I can see Matthew's laundry hanging underneath the coconut palm.
We received some poems from a longtime member, Derek Paul, who now lives in Montreal. And I'm going to ask Chris to read Dear Santa by Derek's late wife, Shirley Farlinger.
Dear Santa, my name is Willie. My dog is called Spot. We live in this house near a big vacant lot. I like to play hockey. With my last Christmas puck, I skate like Lafleur till my ankles fold up. My hockey stick split when I scored my first goal, but Dad taped it up till it's nearly whole. Christmas is coming, I can tell by the noise. Mum's mixing up batter for gingerbread boys. I know Christmas is really a special birthday. My pal Marcel says, "C'est à Noël que Jésus est né." I don't know, Santa Claus, who you're supposed to be, except you leave presents under every child's tree. I don't need a scarf, a cap, or new mitts. The ones Grandma made last year still fit. My jacket and pants belong to my brother. I'd rather wear them than break in another. So I'm writing to ask for a neat kind of treasure that won't rust or get swiped, but will be a pleasure. Santa, this year, please try, on your trip Christmas Eve, to make all the world's children as happy as me.
And our last reader is none other than my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer. Gwyn, I know a lot of your writing is influenced by the time you spent in Africa. Is the story you're going to read set there?
Actually, it is, and it's a true story. It's a story about my mother and a gardener that we had who came from Malawi, and we were living in Zimbabwe, so they were both strangers to that land. Mistletoe and mushrooms. Mother was an avid gardener and a miracle worker. She grew the delicate freesias, daffodils, and columbine of her English homeland under the hot Zimbabwe sun. But if Mother was a miracle worker, Solomon was her resident angel. Solomon came from the far north, so they were both kindred spirits, both displaced, and both with a strange, almost eerie affinity for nature. Solomon taught my mother how to grow native plants and often brought her gifts from the bush. He appeared at the kitchen door with freshly picked mushrooms in a wooden bowl. Large, flat, white ones with deep purple underbellies, small buttons with long stems and stubby toadstools of such brilliant colors they seemed to have been plucked from my storybooks. Phineas the cook twisted his apron in his hands and predicted a dire end for us all. My way, those mushroom is poison, madam. You will die, oh, my way. But Mother calmly thanked Solomon, took a small bowl, and picked out only the very best specimen of each kind. She took her time, examining them and making her choice. Eventually, Mother returned the wooden bowl to Solomon. His brown eyes thanked her, and he disappeared to add the remaining mushrooms to his own supper. For her part, Mother taught Solomon a great deal, too. She taught him to make steaming piles of compost and trap slugs in bowls of beer. Solomon joked that he would like to be a slug. She taught him how to prune roses and graft fruit trees. If he ever wondered why Mother insisted on growing plants that belonged in another climate, he never questioned her. Instead, he wove intricate mats from long elephant grass, and in the heat of the day erected them like sun umbrellas over the seedlings. Most of all, they understood each other's needs. Mother understood those strange times when a man feels the pull of a greater force and cannot rest until it is served. Solomon took off about 3 times a year. He left without warning and sometimes did not return for several days, and on rare occasions several weeks. He packed nothing and returned as suddenly as he had left, and without explanation resumed his work. Despite my father's protests, Mother never docked his pay or questioned him. She had no need for questions. She already knew the answers. Solomon understood Mother's needs too. One December, as Christmas approached, Mother sat in the shade of a purple bougainvillea and paged through an overseas magazine filled with Christmas pictures, holly, mistletoe, pine boughs, and red bows. Solomon worked nearby, and then without warning he downed tools and walked off into the bush. Mother watched him go, sighed, and resumed her reading. But about an hour later he returned, his upper body hidden by a mass of boughs, blue-green and spiky like blue spruce and junipers. With a grin he laid them at my mother's feet. Pointing to the magazine, he held out his hand. In it were sprigs of white berries in leathery yellow-green leaves, just like mistletoe. Sunlight filtered through the blossoms overhead and cast a spotlight on my mother as she held the sprigs above her head, laughed out loud, and danced under her Christmas mistletoe.
That was lovely. Lovely. Thank you. Well, that brings us to the end of another holiday edition of Word on the Hills. We hope you enjoyed it. Gwyn and Chris and I would like to wish you all the very best of the season and all the best for the new year. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio.